Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together on this Wednesday, October 8th, 2014. And I'm going to jump right into a few announcements, Jason. As I know, we're going to talk about the topic of the gospel of grace. As a good friend of mine, a senior saint, a long-term radio volunteer who models Christ and has a great marriage, Max Full of Grace Norman. He left me this listing of a summary of the 10 facets of the gospel of grace. And so I want to share that with you and our Great News Radio listeners in just a minute. But I want to point out a couple different things. Our trip to Israel is 29 days away, and I've pulled the radio spots because I kind of started hearing them too many times, and I thought, you know, some of our listeners are probably feeling like me. It's like, okay, enough about the trip to Israel. I mean, I know it's special, and I wish I could go, but I like to hear all the other spots, the radio announcements, the scripture readings, the little creative plugs that talk about this radio ministry. So I've officially pulled those, but I do want to point out, if you're interested at all on the trip to Israel, come join us. It'll be a life-changing experience as we walk in the footsteps of Jesus and look at his word and experience all that he's going to pour into us over the 10-day tour.
Yeah.
And that'll be November 6th through the 15th. So you can call the station if you need more information, 217-367-7777. But my primary reason of bringing that up is we're still trying to figure out, we're a smaller size group, probably between 18 and 20, and we're looking to see if there's a church or maybe you own some kind of deluxe motor coach or van that could accommodate like 20 people up to Israel. We could work out a
creative... No, it's O'Hare.
Oh, what did I say?
You said up to Israel.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, can you fly us too? Yeah, up to O'Hare. And it would be leaving on the morning of November 6th, and then we'd be returning on the 15th. And so if maybe you could accommodate, we could feed you, we could work out some gas arrangements and reward you for your time and energy. And I know there are some churches that have worked with the Singing Men of GNN before where we had two vans, but the ideal would be one motor coach that could maybe accommodate up to 20 passengers and could work out the arrangements. Maybe you work for a motor coach service. I know I've worked with them before, but usually it's like $2,000 to $2,400. And because it's a smaller size group, I'm looking for other means. So if you know of a good deal that we could work through, give me a call, 217-367-7777. Hey, this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, there is a gigantic garage sale at the Savoy United Methodist Church, 3002 West Old Church Road. A number of churches are coming together. They're raising funds where 100% of the proceeds of this five multi-church fundraiser is going to benefit local area ministries, including the food pantry, Salt and Light, SA Canteen Run, and the Empty Tomb will be some of the organizations. And it's all happening this Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. That's October 9th, October 10th from 10 to 7 p.m., and then Saturday, October 11th, 8 to 2 p.m. at the Savoy United Methodist Church on the corner of Duncan and Old Church Road, about 2 miles west of Savoy. So that's an announcement for you to be aware of. As mentioned on the Monday and Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, the Madison Avenue Free Methodist Church is holding their 125th anniversary. There will be a hymn sing followed by a message and a reception and some dessert time. If you missed Monday or Tuesday's program with Pastor Herb and his First Lady, Cheryl, then you can go to greatnewsradio.org and learn all about it. But that'll be this Sunday. The hymn sing-along is at 9:30 and the church service is at 10:30. But I also know you're having a special guest, which is very timely with all the attention about Ebola and Africa and so forth. You're having a special guest come in, I think, and delivering a message.
Well, he's not going to deliver a message. He's going to share his heart for about 10 or so minutes. But William K. Kofa, who is the pastor of the oldest Congo town, First Baptist Church. And so he's in Liberia there in the center of, we hear Liberia a lot attached with Ebola. And so he's coming. He's been up in Grand Rapids for the last number of months, just raising awareness and some support for what's happening over there. You know, I said this on Sunday morning at our church, and I really mean it. I mean, the church has been historically always on the forefront of aid and help, always on the forefront of doing what is good for God's glory. And so once again, this is the church stepping up and saying, saying, you know what, William's saying, you know, I'm going to go over to the States and I'm going to, you know, raise support and raise some awareness. I'm going to do some ministry work. And then through that, we've been collecting medical supplies and actually hopefully working out something with Carl Hospital where they'll be able to donate some things too. It's amazing. I told somebody this the other day and it was just shocking to me. I just had this moment where we got these big bins in our foyer where we're collecting the supplies. And one of the supplies they need is drinking straws. Because they need to be able to have it so people can sip water in that, because when they're really sick, they can't drink water. Mm-hmm. They have to sip it. And so one of the things they said, we need to see lots of drinking straws. And so I was out there doing a little tidying in our foyer and doing, I forget what I was doing, but I looked down in one of the bins and I saw this. I mean, I've never seen so many straws. This person must have got this at Sam's Club or something, mm-hmm. but this is a mega pack of straws. And I paused for a moment and I thought, my gosh, those straws in there are going to save somebody's life or aid in saving somebody's life. And how many times have I been at a fast food restaurant and gotten two straws and thrown one away or had one fall down between the seats in my car? Or, you know, how many times have I taken something so for granted that right now will make such a difference in somebody's life? And so it's just a way that God impressed upon me that, you know what, Jason, don't take anything for granted. Don't take the way that I'll, common grace, how I'll use things and how I'll use people too. So William will be at our 10:45 a.m. service and he'll be there to share. And also recently, it's just really a point of prayer as his daughter, what, was abducted by, you know, there's just these local gangs in Liberia that are running rampant and they had abducted his daughter. Now she's back home, praise God, but needs some medical attention. So, you know, it's just a different kind of life. So he's going to give us a ground level perspective about how Liberia has been affected by the Ebola crisis and then what that's done to a government that was already under a lot of stress as it was trying to rebuild after a great big revolution about 10 years ago. So he'll be there at the 10:45 service, Community Evangelical Free Church, and we'd love to have you come out and just be able to just hear his heart. Maybe, you know, it's like I told some folks on Sunday morning, I said, maybe you have a marginal interest in this, but just come and hear. Come and hear what he has to say. Come and talk to him for a few minutes, because you don't know how God might move your heart to do something. Mm-hmm. You know how God might go, like, you can actually be used in this in a powerful way. And again, Ebola seems like it's knocking on our door over here, so maybe we might want to begin to drum up and care for and send support and support the people over there, because that's where it came from. You know what I mean? All right, so let's go to where it came from and make a really big impact. And the church has always been so good at that. So.
And you're located on Riverbend Boulevard right off of Route 47 in Mahomet.
Yeah.
All right, 10:45 service. Well, as I was bragging up or doing a shout-out earlier about Max Full of Grace Norman, he's how I told you. I think that was one of the first things I said when you walked into the studio. Jason, I want to finish well, and I want to finish like Max Norman. This guy, he was always a follower of Jesus from childhood. I mean, he grew up in a Christian home, grew up attending church, doing the right things, making good choices, had that old school mindset. You help others, you know, you do unto others as you'd like him to do unto you. He lived a morally decent life. But it wasn't until, I think, in his 70s, later 70s, that he really had that concept of grace hammered into him, that it's nothing that you can do, Max. It's not following the rules. It's not attending church. It's not whether you tithe. It's not anything that you could do. It's all a free gift. And Max grabbed onto that concept, and literally for the 9 or 10 or 15 years that I've known him, he's like a little child that has come to Christ, that's always excited. He's always reading a book. Do you understand this concept of God, how loving he is, how good he is, or how wonderful he is? And I mean, every single time I see Max Norman, and I think he's close to being 90 now, it's like Dolly Redden, a 90. I think Dolly's 93 now, and she's still tuning in and sending me encouraging messages. I mean, fired up for the Lord, and that's how I want to finish. And Max, hopefully you have another 10 or 20 years. The same with you, Dolly. But he sent this. He said, Mark, you got to know about these 10 facets of the gospel of grace. And so he made a point of photocopying this and giving me these 10. And I figured I'd just share these with our listeners on this, the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. But I think you'll delight in some of these, too. The gospel is not a solicitation to impress God with your love. It is the passionate declaration of your Father's undying love for you.
That's interesting that you would bring that up, because that was something I was pondering on Saturday. I was really thinking about this on Saturday. You know, I leave on a Sunday morning, and I, if there's pastors listening, you're probably in the same boat. Leave on Sunday morning and think about, okay, you know, that was really good there. My gosh, and that was amazing, and that really needed some work. And boy, we really should think about those transitions that are happening between maybe the music and the message there. You know, we leave thinking about all these different things that just happened. And I really felt convicted for a moment. Have I ever asked God what he thought? Have I ever asked God, or have I always just taken for granted the fact that since we opened the doors and we had church that we brought glory to God? Have I ever asked him what he thought? Because I really think I saw somebody do this really great illustration. And what they did is they were given a message on just that, giving God your best. And they had a little chicken leg they took out of the bag. And they said, he said, you know, we want to give God our best. We want to give God our best. But let's be honest. This is exactly how it works. And he took the chicken leg and he goes, well, God, I want to give you this whole chicken leg, but, you know, I got to pay the mortgage. And he took a bite of chicken. And he goes, and I need my car. And he took a bite of chicken. And he did this until, you know, different things. He needed cable TV and school for the, you know, all these different things until there was just the bone. And he goes, and then we go, here, God. And he threw it across the stage, and then he goes, and we think that God goes, oh my gosh, thank you, and ran over and he grabbed the bone and he goes, we actually think that God goes, just because you threw me that bone, I'm just happy. I'm just so happy. You know, it's this assumption that we have about that God is just happily glorified when we offer him. The Bible says we have to bring him something without blemish. It doesn't say that we can bring him our blemished things. We have to bring him something without blemish. And so the gospel is not a solicitation where something has to happen or something must happen or there's this transactional thing. It's something that you can't even put your hands on. Like I can't, I when I was in Louisville a number of months ago, almost a year ago now, it was a conference I went to all about the gospel and sharing the gospel. And it was like just kind of getting outside of yourselves where the gospel's concerned. It really had a huge impact on me for being able to share the gospel. But I remember there was one particularly kind of moving morning that we had. I mean, it was like amazing. I mean, guys were just like, ugh. And I went out in the street, and it was in Louisville, so I was like, one of the things on my radar was I have to go to the Louisville Slugger Museum. And I want to get a bat. I want to get, like, they sell at the museum the unfinished bats, like without the lacquer on it. It's just been, like, taken off of the thing, and they burn in the name Louisville Slugger. And so I wanted, like, the classic bat. And so I went down there to pick one up. They're like $10. I come out of the Louisville Slugger Museum, and there was a homeless guy there. And it was like the Lord just goes, he's it. He's the one. He's the one. And there was a moment where I'm like, and then I go, I have to do it. But it was one of the times where I shared the gospel where it had nothing to do with me, nothing to do with me at all. And he accepted the Lord on the street right there in Louisville. And he and I had lunch together. And he's actually called me a couple times since on my cell phone. And it was amazing. And I'm going to tell you right now, I had nothing to do with it. I had nothing to do with it. Like, I was, all I was obedient. And it was God's grace that did everything. You know, Ephesians tells us it's his immeasurable riches, and it's a gift. And so it was a gift that God said, here, I want you to give this to this guy. I want you to help me real quick. I just want you to be the deliverer, messenger. Will you do that? It's not about you. It's about him. And I had to hand it to him. And it was just an amazing thing. So
now, isn't that a great perspective? I'm thinking about that insight that you had. But in reality, really, it's that way for everything.
Yeah. Oh,
I mean, but
totally.
We forget. I mean, you know, it's I've accomplished this. I've created this. I've worked hard to achieve this. And yet it really all came from him to begin with.
Well, you know, that's why, I mean, I really get tweaked about that whole kind of where we say I'm partnering with God.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you're unequally yoked. I mean, if you're just really honest, he's omnipotent, omniscient, he's omnipresent, you're flawed, human, and frail. I mean, there's just a total difference between the two. You know, and so I just want to be real careful to understand that he is always the stronger part of the relationship. Now, that doesn't mean, though, that in the whole thing, I don't keep trying to impose myself upon that. I mean, I'm like the little yappy dog. I mean, what was the cartoon where they had the big bulldog? And he would kind of, he was just real stoic and real powerful. But there was always a little yappy dog that would go around him going, yes, Fred, you bet, Fred, you bet. And I said, that's kind of like how I am. Like, I'm always like trying to be louder and bigger than I am. I'm trying to be more than I really am. And what I really need to do is just shut up and rest in his grace.
Yeah, well, like what you've said many times, when we learn to lean into him, that's when the results really will happen. Yeah. Number two, the gospel is not an appeal to engage in soul-searching and fault-finding. It is the emphatic declaration that you have been completely and eternally forgiven through the blood of the Lamb.
John Piper has a great quote which says that we are called to see and to savor God. And in that quote, he says that the biggest fault we can do is to use the gospel as some way to show people how sinful they are, instead of using the gospel to show them the all-sufficient Savior named Jesus. Mm-hmm. That when we show them Jesus, Jesus will convict them of their sins. When we show them Jesus, Jesus will call them forward. But too often we use the gospel as kind of a bludgeon, a tool to kind of go, wait, look how bad you are.
Yeah.
And look, I don't know anybody who's decided to become good because we've showed them how bad they are.
Yeah. And I know some cases where until people were convinced that God loved them, they couldn't deal with the sin or how really utterly lost they
right.
were. Yeah, yeah. There's always that great balance of helping people understand that they're extremely loved by God, full of grace and mercy, before you can just kind of say, you're a sinner going to hell. Not that there aren't times that you really have to present that as you are a sinner going to hell, but I think there's that importance of sharing how much...
That's just a foundational truism. That's just saying, look at... Part of this whole thing is that if you don't accept Jesus, there are two choices. If you don't accept Jesus, hell awaits. If you do accept Jesus, heaven awaits. But the goal is never heaven. The goal is Jesus.
Yeah.
The goal is to gain Christ.
Hmm. You know what? The gospel, point number three, is not merely a promise of a ticket to heaven. It is the power of God to bless you with the saving and abundant life here and now.
Right.
Living out that eternity, even today.
Yeah.
Number four. Okay, we'll see if we can get through a few more of these. The gospel is not an advertising brochure for the treasures of the kingdom. It is the thrilling revelation
Jesus.
It is the thrilling revelation that the lover of your soul desires to share his life in wedded union with you forever.
Mm.
Yep, yep. The fact that we can have that intimate personal relationship with God even now, even today, even during these moments. Number five, the gospel is not an invitation to accept Jesus. It is the stunning announcement that he accepts you. Invitation to
accept. I'd wrestle that one a little
bit. Yeah, the gospel is not an invitation to accept Jesus.
I think the gospel is an invitation
to
accept
Jesus. Yeah, it's the good news message.
Yeah, but at the same time, I do think that I understand what it's trying to do. It's trying to play with words so that it can kind of unhinge you and make you think. Because the gospel is... purely nothing that you could do and everything that God has already done. And so without Jesus, there could possibly be no invitation nor acceptance. I get frustrated when people tell me, I heard this message and I got saved. You know what? The message had nothing to do with it. Before you even responded to that message, the Holy Spirit already saved you in that seat. You are already saved because it was the free gift of God given to you, Ephesians 2:8-9.
And it's stunning that he accepts us, that he's pursuing us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. That's kind
of amazing. You know what? I mean, we're always trying to buy the Lamborghini, and God's going, you know what? Can I kick the tires on that jalopy over there?
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Yeah. Number six, the gospel is not a sign-up sheet for sanctification classes.
Oh.
It is the definite... It is the definitive announcement that in Christ you are holy indeed.
Mm.
In Christ, that's always that importance. Not in ourselves, not in our own abilities, not in how well we keep the rules or follow the doctrine. It's the fact that we're in Christ, and it's only because of Christ that there's any good really
right.
in us.
Christ drives us towards doctrine. Christ drives us towards right thinking and right living. Yeah.
Mm. Number seven. The gospel is not a list of things you must do to inherit eternal life. It is the blessed announcement that the righteousness you need to enter the kingdom of heaven comes to us as a free gift through faith. We've kind of already addressed that. A free gift through faith.
Yeah, and you know what I mean? You and I talked about this before the program. I mean, this was the same journey that Paul was on in Philippians chapter 3, where he gave his whole pedigree. He said, Pharisee of the Pharisees, tribe of Benjamin, as for zeal, persecution of Christians... faultless. And then he goes, but I count all these things as rubbish next to the surpassing knowledge of knowing Christ. Paul had the list mastered, Paul was a master. Read Romans chapter 7. Paul knew how to get through the list. In fact, he coveted the list, and he coveted it so much that it drove him to a place where he said, what a wretched man am I, who can save me from this body of death? And then he proclaims the glories and majesties of Jesus Christ.
Hey, fits good with point number 8. The gospel is not a reform program for bad people. It is the liberating declaration of new life for those who have died, that we must first die before we can truly live. Number 9, the gospel is not a half-baked hope that you can extend your old broken life indefinitely. It is the joyful announcement that in Christ the old has gone and the new has come. And last but not least, we're going to make it. Number 10. And these are a summary of 10 facets of the gospel of grace as given to me by Max Full of Grace Norman, almost 90-year-old senior saint that has volunteered with his radio ministry for many, many years. And he and his wife, Esther, are just gems. They love their marriage. I think their marriage is going on 65, 70 years, just senior saints that are finishing well. And he gave me this the other day, and I share them with you. Number 10 is the gospel is not a vague notion that you get to rule and reign after you die. It is the royal announcement that the reign of the king is within the reach of faith. The kingdom of God is at hand. The good news is the best news you've ever heard.
I love that it's the good news, but there's so many things that are not so good that we call good. You know, like we'll say, oh, that was good pizza, or that was a good movie, realizing that it probably wasn't the best movie, it was just a good movie. And so sometimes I think we lump that in there. We've got to be real careful. It's funny. I just had my Bible open here as we were just talking. I just kind of flipped it from Philippians over into a page. And it says this in Acts chapter 17. Paul says, for in him we live and move and have our being. Yeah, and so in God we live, and we live differently, and we move differently, and we have our being. And that being comes from not doing, but being. From knowing whose we are, from knowing that God's not fuzzy about us. I love in the Exodus when God says, I am, period. The most important part of that proclamation for me is the period, because it's God saying, I'm not fuzzy about who I am. And by the way, as you grow in me, I won't be fuzzy about who you are either. And he wasn't fuzzy about us in his selection of us when he poured out his grace, a gift that we didn't even deserve, and called us towards him. And so what an amazing moment that you and I have been chosen for a purpose far greater than we know. God is building something in us that we can't even begin to fathom, that some of us won't even be able to see. And yet that work, this holy temple, God's house where his Holy Spirit resides, each one of us, that God selected that site. I mean, God looked down and said, you. Take a moment and just ponder that. He said, you. And when he said that, he meant you. And that is breathtaking to me.
And it's not circumstantial, not a serendipity, not by chance that you're tuned in for this very morning, or for that matter, the re-airing in the evening, that you're hearing these very words, that God does have a plan and purpose for you this very day. Well, thank you, Pastor Jason Schiffel, for joining with me on this the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. And I think it was somewhat providential that you flipped over to Acts, because on Friday we're going to be continuing our discussion through the book of Acts. So join us for that occasion this Friday as we continue our series through the book of Acts. It'll be chapter 13. So we hope you can join us again. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.